Hi, John.
Hey, Alex.
Do you know what I do not care for?
Oh, what's that?
I do not care for hunky boys. Or do I?
Do you?
Anyway, we watch Psycho Corbin. I think this movie did the world a favor, and by the world I mean me, when they said that in the opening sequence that he's from Planet Gygax, which is the guy that invented Dungeons and Dragons. Because I knew nothing about this movie other than it was called Psycho Corbin, and that's it. So I was like, oh, I don't know what kind of movie this is. And I like when movies just come out and go, no, this is the kind of movie it is, that the bad guy's from Planet Gygax. And
right.
Like, that's, we're good. We're all savvy? Everybody's good? Okay, everybody's good. Let's just go.
Yeah, there's no question it from the get-go what kind of tone this movie is. And this will be a Psycho Corbin 2020 Canadian science fantasy horror comedy. Gory comedy is more what I would say.
Yeah.
Because it's not that horrible.
Oh, gore, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Gore.
Mm-hmm.
Gore, yeah. Man.
And he looks like Al Gore. That's... So it works both ways. Because Al Gore also had, pink veins.
And he wants to destroy all the humans like Al Gore did because they were ruining the environment.
That's what I remember.
Yes. Or so my right-wing relatives would have me believe.
But it's a very silly movie that borrows heavily from, I guess they're called the tokusatsu genre, Japanese stuff like Ultraman and kaiju films fall into that too. But your Mighty Morphin Power Rangers kind of thing, but violent and gory and very, very silly. But yes, it's about an evil presence known as the Archduke of Nightmares. He doesn't really have a name, but he has been banished to Earth and sealed there. Thousands of years ago, because he was far too evil and was going to destroy all life.
Yeah, I mean, let's just look. I'm not going to point any plot holes in this movie because obviously this is not the kind of movie you do that with. But they could have just given a cursory hand wave at why not bury him on an uninhabited planet.
Well, it might have been like might have been that it was too primitive.
Yeah, but there's a moon like right there, and they ain't fuck all about that moon.
Maybe they aimed for it and hit Earth. You know, they were like.
Yeah, sure.
You know. Or it was like a Friday at 4:30, like, whatever, we'll just dump them here. It's fine.
Yeah, it's true.
This is so far away from us.
It doesn't matter. Dig that hole. Look, what's this, a mother box? No, throw that aside.
No one needs that.
Yeah. So the movie, we get to meet our heroes, and they're playing essentially Calvin Ball from Calvin and Hobbes, which I'm a big fan of Calvin and Hobbes. Well, I was a big fan growing up. So this gave me warm feelings of Calvin Ball-ness. Until it turns out that we're following our lead Mimi, who is just like a psycho person. Like her brain doesn't work very well, and she likes being violent to her brother.
Yeah, and that's honestly one of the few complaints I have about this movie. Because, like you said, this movie announces what it is at the beginning. So, and it's so broad and silly. It's hard to be like if you're along for the ride, you're along for the ride.
Yeah,
you know. And I don't blame the young actress for this, Nita Josie Hanna, but like. They could have pumped the brakes on her just a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's weird to ask this movie to pull back a little bit on anything. But she was just a little extreme. And some of that's just that the movie is at its weakest, I think, when it's actually trying to be funny. Some of the jokes they really go for. Like at the end when she's praying, that was really stupid and really telegraphed. And just some of the stuff they ever do, it's just like, it's overly broad. And it's a weird criticism to have of a movie where there's a character that's a vat that sprays blood on people.
It's one of the best characters in the film.
Yeah. It made her harder to root for, and I know that's kind of the idea, but it was also just unpleasant to watch to a degree.
There was a couple things. Is not blaming her performance, but she's young, so you're not going to get a good performance out of her. You just because, you know, you get
such a... She was fine. I just didn't like the character.
But having the character be annoying, and then, you know, obviously it's a child... It's just kind of extra irritating.
Sure.
Yeah. But I did like their dynamic. I kind of like that. It seems like the older brother is the one being bullied, which you don't see too particularly often. So they dig up a hole in the backyard as punishment for losing at Calvin Ball.
Yeah. Which I do like, again, this movie, like letting you know what it is at the beginning, makes this game they're playing seem so extreme. And then it cuts to a wide shot. But it's just kids in the backyard.
They do that a few times, and I enjoy it greatly. Yeah, because I do like the reverse of that in the kind of the end battle where they're kind of hugging, and it's like this nice moment, and then you see the like in the background, there's the fate of the universe being decided.
Exactly. Yeah.
They find this ruby gem thing, and she guesses at the passcode to get it out, which I like, that there's mm-hmm. no explanation. It's just, she's not the chosen one. She's like, no, she just guessed.
Yep.
First try.
Just brute forced it. Yeah.
GG, dog. They go to bed and they're worried about there being monsters. And this is where we get the first whiff of how awesome the dad character is,
mm-hmm.
where his dad, are there monsters? Well, you could say that humans are the real monsters. And it's such a, because I don't know what we're expecting. Like, generally you're thinking, oh, there's probably going to be some overbearing dad and mom, and the kids are going to be precocious and creative. No, the dad says humans are the real monsters.
Yeah.
Oh, that made me happy.
And then no one likes the dad. Which I kind of enjoy.
Yeah.
That because he's pretty feckless. Because at first you just think it's like, oh, it's kind of a sitcom family kind of thing. No, he's just a loser.
Yeah.
And makes no attempt to be anything else.
But it made me think, maybe just between you and I, maybe can we like adopt a podcast baby?
I don't think that's legal.
Because I mean, I was just thinking like the dad between, I mean, I've got a BA in English. You're feckless.
Mm-hmm.
Between the, I literally don't know what feckless means. I just want to repeat your word back to you. That between the two of us, I think we could raise the shit out of a baby once every fortnight.
Yeah, I think that would be a good parenting style.
Like we could keep it in the closet 2 weeks. Over there.
Yeah, that's all you need. Just a water bottle and a sack of baby kibble.
All right. John and Alex raise stuff.
Yep.
Jars.
Yep. So, yeah, go ahead and donate to our Patreon so we could buy a child.
Yes. Well, we could probably. I mean, I know some people. We could get it for real cheap.
Yeah, that's. I'm sure you do.
So, I adore the father on a deep, deep level, especially as the movie goes on and he just gets worse as a person.
Yeah.
And it's great. There's no hope. There's no, like, redeeming him. He's just terrible.
And I think that's part of, you know, talk about, like, the kid kind of being difficult to root for. Is that there isn't anyone to root for by the end of this movie. Like, maybe the mom, because she's so put upon by everything else. Luke's a dweeb that can't stand up for himself. His dad, the dad, is just completely feckless. And so you're,
all right,
you're like,
look, well, you're going to have to define the fucking word. I literally don't know what feckless means.
It just means like he's just nothing. He's just, I'm surprised you don't know this word.
I don't. Here's the thing is one of those words that I've heard every now and again and never really looked up.
Yeah, like he's just a layabout, lacking initiative or strength of character. So irresponsible.
So feck is initiative.
Apparently.
All right.
Strength of character is feck.
Oh.
Giving a feck.
Oh. But, this comes up later in song lyrics.
Oh, that's right.
I forgot what we were saying.
Oh, but just that this the dad being
oh yeah.
No one in the family like the dad, and the next day they find out that there's this giant hole because Psycho Gorman has escaped. And in the night, I like this first scene where his first interaction with other people, where it's these criminals who apparently have killed someone, and they're just like cartoonishly bad.
Oh, the overacting is strong.
It's wonderful. And he shows up and immediately dispatches them disgustingly.
He rips two guys' heads off simultaneously, which made me laugh. It was great. And then the lead thief is like, man, I'm afraid to die. Don't kill me. He's like, fine, you should live forever. And he curses him to live forever. And basically, it's just his face is kind of melty and his eyes keep rolling back in his head.
Yeah. Which this is the first kind of reference to a short that they did. You can find on YouTube called, and I should probably post it on some social media.
At JawsPod?
At JawsPod. BioCop, which is a trailer that this same director made. And it's essentially the cop that shows up later. And,
oh, okay.
Because it's a cop that gets like caught in some industrial accident. And he's just constantly melting, but it's fun, played out like a regular thing. And he's just, whenever the cop talks, he's always just like, please kill me. Why can't I die? While he's just melting. It's all disgusting. But kind of like this movie, it goes on a bit too long, but more so than this movie.
I don't disagree. I enjoyed this, but
there's
a lull kind of on the way into the third act where I just kind of like where we got it. Let's just wrap this thing up.
That's kind of the thing. I mean, since there's not really any characters or growth that you care about, it's all very silly.
Yeah.
It's just kind of on the strength of the jokes. And at a certain point, like,
it was about when the cop showed up, actually, where the kind of gore cop, mm-hmm. where he's walking behind and keeps shooting stuff. And it's a good gag. But just kind of like, I think we kind of need to wrap some shit up here. Cause then his cohort, we'll get to it.
Yeah. But, it's after the cohort show up where it kind of loses it for me, but.
Oh, yeah. So that thief overacting is great. Oh, and then another great dad moment of there in the backyard. And he's like, it's a nice hole, son.
Yeah. And then the family votes for the dad to fill it back in. And he, I thought, feigns an injury, but later I gets one.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I wonder if like wrist brittleness has like some kind of like one-to-one kind of equation with feck. Like, the more feck you have, the more strong your bones are. Wrists. It's kind of like milk feck.
Yeah, if you have enough feck, drink more feck.
And then, that's probably where Ben Affleck comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as well as that insurance duck. Oh, yeah, here's a fun thing. You don't see this often with kid characters, and I'm probably not the one to say this. Mimi, a little horn dog.
Yeah.
You don't run into that, because she, like, sees Alistair. He's like, she's like, oh, you're looking nice. Yeah. Why don't you give us a little spin, hunky boy? It's just like, whoa.
Yeah.
What the fuck is going on here? That's not something I was expecting.
Right. Yeah. Which is a little uncomfortable, but okay.
I mean, I don't mind it only because I've seen that, like the little brother from Teen Witch. Like, I've seen the male version of that so many fucking times.
It's very cartoonish.
Yeah. So it was just refreshing to see, but it was also, you know, a bit like, I mean, maybe it's a generation I was raised in, but like, I'm not okay with this, but I'm kind of like, I'm kind of glad it's happening.
But so they end up tracking the monster to this abandoned shoe factory. I don't think they're not actually expecting to find him there.
No, because they didn't even know there's a monster.
Yeah. They're just going to hang out at the cool abandoned shoe factory. And that's where Psycho Gorman is. And that's when they figure out that she's got control of him. She commands him. And then like the jewel starts glowing.
Yeah.
And she can figure out what he wants to do. And then that's when they start to, they figure out a name for him, and they workshop a bunch of different silly ideas and settle on Psycho Gorman.
If I made like a sabotage joke, would that make any sense?
Sabotage?
No. Okay, good. See, sabotage comes from a shoe factory where they would throw sabot was a kind of shoe, and sabotage is throwing shoes into the machinery works. At least that's the common etymology for sabotage.
But you don't know feckless.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've met, right? This is exactly on brand.
Yeah, no, that's very...
Shoe Factory. Oh, yeah, we get to see the immortal guy with his face just kind of, his eyes rolling back in his head, which I found very amusing.
Well,
and also him being immortal is solved by getting knocked over by a little bull.
Yeah, and then his head just explodes.
Yeah.
And it's disgusting, but then when the mouth part goes, thank you.
Yeah.
It's like it's so absurd in its gore that, like, I'm not as sensitive to that kind of stuff anymore, but like the gore just felt so cartoonish it didn't even enter in my mind as really being gory.
I actually am a little sensitive to gore stuff, and this was so cartoony that it didn't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me, and I'm not going to be bringing it up every 4 seconds, but I recently watched the Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, and there's a delightful thing in an early episode where someone explodes out of nowhere,
mm-hmm.
and it's just a head on the floor, and there's like nobody's like, quick, get him into surgery, and the head is talking. It's like, you really have to kill me, put me out of my misery. It's this pool that used to be a human body, and it's very much on that level.
Yeah, and almost some of this almost reminded me of the more drippy gore stuff. I'm not a fan of, like, the cop.
I think her name was Tipper.
The cop almost reminded me of body melt stuff like Street Trash, which is still kind of gross.
Yeah.
But
the cop was probably the closest I got to actually being like, I don't really want to see, but like,
yeah,
for the most part, it's so over the top. Cause any kind of like real gore effects I get. I'm too sensitive for that shit.
But the makeup and like the physical effects in this are fantastic.
Yeah.
They're so much fun. And I don't mean this as a knock to the people involved, but they're exactly the level they should be for this kind of thing. Like, it keeps the tone where it needs to be. They're still, like, it's very impressive and amazing, but it still has that, like, Ultraman kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
That's pretty great.
I think Psycho Gorman's costume is perfect because it's believable-ish, but totally not believable at all. Like, it really has got that right level.
Well, and then like the stuff they do with it later, like when he like unhinges his jaw and stuff, particularly the scene where he's eating the hamburger is
really
so
fun.
Corny. And I love it.
Actually, around here in the narrative, one of my favorite bits of this film is where they go into they cut to the kind of table of elders or
the planetary council,
and it's just some of the best alien designs ever. And the brain inside of a glass jar with a robot body is
character's name is Tubehead.
Perfect. Of course it is. Because just give me that all day. Just give me.
Yeah. All those designs were fantastic. Yeah. The one guy I didn't like was, and like design wise, he was fine. But the one kind of foppish guy that had all the jokes.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't find it particularly funny, but all the I was about to say creature, but I guess their characters, they're so great. And yeah, Tubehead is particularly fantastic.
Tubehead's great. Tubehead is only rivaled when the bad guys show up later, and then
Paladin's obsidian. Yes.
So, interesting. There's a really great part that happens here in that scene. So, like, the Templar lady's talking, saying, like, hey, we're going to get, God's going to be on my side, and I'm going to go down, kill the shit out of, the Archduke of, why Archduke?
I don't know, because it just sounds cool.
Yeah, I guess so. Somebody in a boardroom near a character, that's got his entire body covered, says that something sounds like a load of superstitious nonsense to me, and then gets choked.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what a great, I know it's the first time it's ever happened in a movie, yeah, and it's weird that that part would really stick out to me, but like, oh man, what a great thing to have happen.
Yeah,
in
it's
a film.
It's pretty, I mean, yeah, obviously you're referencing Jaws.
Yes, but, of course, yeah.
No, I thought it was, yeah, it was a fun version of it, because this character dressed all in white and apparently supposed to be good.
Exactly.
Now, here's a 30 minutes of me talking about how in this movie, the Templars are actually America. And the Obsidian, Paladin's Obsidian, are actually the warlords that we tried to pay to be in charge in Afghanistan, and Cycle Gorman is the Taliban.
Let me posit this, that he is the Mandarin, but as played by Ben Kingsley, not the real Mandarin, and that the Army of the Ten Rings is... So anyway, I don't know anything about this Afghanistan place, but is that near Alderaan?
It is,
yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, they steal a thing from Star Trek, Star Wars, sounds great. Psycho Gorman says the hilarious line when given a magazine full of hunky boys.
Oh yeah, because they're trying to commanding him to stay there. Yeah. So yeah, she brought him some stuff to keep him occupied, including a magazine full of hunky boys.
I do not care for hunky boys. Or do I?
Yeah, he's just staring at a picture of like Joel. It's just a dude in jeans and no shirt. It's like, or do I?
I like how often they say hunky in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Hunky is a funny word that you don't hear often enough.
I'm for it. For hunks. Pro hunks.
I'm on the fence, but only because I want to stay in character from how we open the episode.
At this point, also, you get a little bit of his backstory, and you see this with the Templar as well, when the Templar decides that it's going to go down to get Psycho Gorman, and it conjures up teleports just some person from the planet and puts them in a cube and just crushes them into this cube of meat that then it just spreads all over its face. And it later, I guess that's how it takes its form.
Yeah.
I don't know. But Psycho Gorman tells this whole story about how he was just a slave on this planet. And then he found the gem of Peroxidite, and it turned him superpower. And just all the flashbacks are so great because they're just enough. Like, I want to see... I would love to see the movie of him rising up and starting everything. You get a shot later of him like flying a bike into a giant space octopus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All that stuff is so much fun, but they just give you enough. It's not a whole lot of time isn't spent on it. You know, you learn about how he got the gem, but that's really about it. And just all the footage or all the flashbacks are just great. Like when he's in the giant mech, like stomping the village.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. When he gets the gem of peroxide or whatever, does that make him part of Steven Universe?
Yep.
Because now he is a crystal gem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, he's the most powerful one.
Oh, okay.
I haven't seen the show, but I'm assuming it's exactly the same as this movie.
It's very similar. Same amount of gore. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, Steven is constantly just stomping people's heads.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like this backstory, and I like how they don't give a shit about it anytime he starts talking about his past.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Luke maybe does, but Mimi absolutely does not care.
That's on that note, that's a fun runner that Psycho Gorman can't remember Luke's name.
Yeah. Even though he's the only one that's like nice or, you know, whatever.
Do we know what the budget was?
About $670,000.
Beautiful. All right. That's what I was hoping for. $1 million. Great job. The reason I thought of it is like the kind of awkward backstory stuff is very much, it reads to me as a good way to get more film time for cheap.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're doing backstory, but then they can cut back and have, you know, wait, you're not even listening to me. Like, it's a fun joke, but also it eats, you know, 8 seconds or whatever. Like,
right,
there's
right.
a lot of kind of like money saving little things, which end up being funny, but it's, yeah. Another fun scene happens here. They end up going back and having dinner, and the dad is so proud of having microwaved some chicken. I like the little runner of his dad, pretending he was in Iraq. He's like, oh, you're playing with guns. I used to play with guns out in the desert. They called it the Iraq War. And the mom's like, you weren't in the Iraq War.
For keeps.
It was such a weird beat.
Yeah. Well, I do like a lot about the dad and his uselessness, but sometimes, like that bit when he microwaves the chicken, and then she's like, "What the hell did you do to the microwave?" Opens the microwave, it's all messed up, and he's like, "Yeah, I cooked dinner. You're welcome." That's like a close-up of him like teary-eyed, going, "You're welcome."
Yeah,
I don't know. That didn't do it for me. Not enough to really matter, but it was just like it just felt strained and like you're trying too hard to be wacky right here. Just let the dad be a jerk and, you know, move on.
Yeah, I liked it enough that didn't bother me. I mean, yeah. You are objectively correct, but like I liked it enough that like
it's
a very tiny
point.
It's funny. He's doing funny things.
Yeah,
and you know it's good. It's a man crying.
Yes.
What is that?
Which that same actor Adam Brooks is in the BioCop trailer as well.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if any of the same people are, but I recognize that guy.
I don't know. I didn't see this trailer. Somebody didn't send it before we recorded. So this is where we get to know Psycho Gorman a bit. Mimi realizes that she would like Alistair to like her. And somehow this translates to Alistair getting turned into a giant brain.
Yeah, because he's like, I used my powers of, he said like, I used my power to have some alien name like, seduce the moon queen of something else.
Yeah.
You want me to do that for you? And she's like, yeah. So he turns him into a giant brain. Presumably that's the race of whatever thing he was talking about.
I didn't even think about that. I just thought it was just some weird, like,
that's what I think. It's like, he's like, oh, no, I'll try. Like, you think that's, I'll make him hot the way they think it's hot. And turns him to that. Well, and what I like is that he does, and no one cares. No one is all affected by it. Because that's when the parents see them playing. Mom sees him, goes out and like tries to hit him with the baseball bat, which sadly immediately made me think of Suburban Sasquatch,
the greatest movie ever.
Yeah,
made.
And yeah. I hate that that's in my brain.
I think we need to watch the other films of his.
Yeah, the Fungicide.
Yes, there's an alien abduction one too that looked pretty good.
God.
So turns him into a brain. Oh, this is where inexplicably there's like a 5-minute rock song.
Yeah. So. Normally, this is something that I hate in movies, and we have discussed this in the Airborne episode, because there's one of these...
we did an episode out of Airborne.
We did, and there's the bit in this movie where there's a hilarious scene of trying on different costumes.
Yes.
And I enjoyed it, because it's so, like, this movie's so ridiculous that absolutely it should have that in there.
Yeah, and the fact the song is... A little girl saying, like, basically, fuck you, don't do, I'm not
the heckin' best.
Yeah.
And it's also buffeted by when he, like, gets a new outfit, he's walking down the street, Psycho Gorman's walking, no one's really reacting to Psycho Gorman, but this kid yells, like, hey, dummy, nice Halloween costume, and Psycho Gorman just blows him up.
Yes.
Just explodes the child.
Yeah, which is, I like how Mimi refuses to get him to promise to not kill the entire planet.
Yes.
He's like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that probably would be a good idea. So anyway, playing some Calvin Ball.
It does not serve her immediately, so she does not care.
Yeah. This is around where she tries to teach him Calvin Ball, and the cops show up, and the beautiful scene of the cop getting turned into a weird melty monster.
Yeah, which I think it should be mentioned how much I love that he's dressed like Jurassic Park. The outfit Psycho Gorman is wearing Alan Grant from Jurassic Park. And there's not like a wink and a nod to it. There's just, no, that's how he's dressed.
Yes.
And it's very silly. And I enjoyed that.
Yes, I did too. It's a wonderful outfit. The fact he's got a little kerchief is so good. So Psycho Gorman turns the cop into this melty, gross monster thing and scares the shit out of his partner to the point of, he's like, he stared into my eyes. I saw his dark soul. But, there's a weird scene right there where Alistair, the brain, just kind of walks off.
Yes.
And there's this sweet moment between her and the brain where she's like, no, I'll love you even if you look like this. And then kisses the brain on the side of the...
Well, yeah, because Alistair's just like, do you ever think I'll be normal again? She's like, no, probably not. Yeah. But and just his like, oh, okay, his sad acceptance. And then he just walks away, and then that's it. He's no longer in the movie, I guess.
Yeah, and I love it. At no point is it, could you maybe ask him to turn me back? Yeah. Like, it's just not, that's...
It's
that's...
out of her control. She would not be bothered.
It is what it is.
She's not interested in him as in any kind of helpful way. He's always just a tool to be used to hurt other people or for her amusement.
Yes.
It's never like, Psycho Gorman, will you, you know, paint the house for my mom? It's always just rage and despair.
We get the please kill me card from the cop. and her being so upset that he's like, I wasted a good card on this. You're supposed to write me love letters. And the first of the what is love from Psycho Gorbit, which is ostensibly his growth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not, but I mean, that's the...
But it's not, but it's treated with the exact same, you know, dignity and gravitas that it should be in this movie. It doesn't really pretend to be anything more than it is.
Yeah.
When they finally do deal with it.
Yeah. And the Templar lady shows up now on Earth in the guise of a human being, and she goes to the police station, and there is a delightful cop there, just this guy with a gray ass ponytail and mm-hmm. a gray ass giant beard. Who's just playing with a paperclip chain.
Yes.
Just leaning back at a desk, completely ignoring the fact that there's a mentally shattered person on the police force about two desks back. The guy that was with old Drippy McCop.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's a fun scene, and I just like that actor a lot. Just
yeah.
He's got like a that's my uncle vibe. You know, like he's in that movie because someone went, oh, you know, you should get is Dave at the donut place.
Yeah. It seems like the entire cast of, again, Suburban Sasquatch, but one guy. It's not that like, well, we have to have my family in it. It's that I should put my family in this.
You know, so let's just say Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
I bring that to the table here. And instead of erasing like our torrid love affair before the show started,
mm-hmm. just today,
you know, just so we can do it again for the first time, I could erase Suburban Sasquatch from memory. Do you go for it?
Like, is that my only option, or can I pick any movie I want?
You can take out any movie you want.
Ooh, yeah. I mean, are there side effects? Let me.
You get like a 2-foot hairy dick.
How hairy are we talking?
Real hairy.
Is it attached to me or is it in a box?
No, it's to the throat, bitch. I said bitch twice in this episode. I'm really sorry if that gets to the final cut. It's okay. I talked about being throat fucked by Suburban Sasquatch. All right, so that note's done. It's weird I have that noted here.
Yeah, you were planning this whole thing.
Yeah, it's odd because you're the one that brought up Suburban Sasquatch. So this is where what was the name of his friends?
Oh, the Paladin's Obsidian.
Yes, the Paladin's Obsidian.
They were his army because he is contacting them using the television.
Yes.
He summons the electronic spirits to let them know, the Paladin's Obsidian know, where that he is awoken and to search for him, come find him. And there's a part later because like it causes the TV to bleed.
Yes.
And there's a part later where the dad is in the warehouse with him, and he just has the throwaway line of like, "Well, this TV won't stop bleeding."
Yes, I have that written down.
Yeah. I love that just that casual throwaway. I like that kind of joke in this movie by the more straight characters than the more goofy stuff.
And it's such a dad line. I like the way he's written. Yes. Like, you know, kind of boat shoes, made flesh. So yeah, his team, the Paladins of Obsidian or whatever, I didn't get all their names, but one is Dark Scream.
There's Dark Scream is the one with the crown.
There's Cassius 3000, which is the weird robot with like the metal
robot bird.
Yeah, yeah. From what was the name of that thing from Jason the Argonauts, Tweetu or something like that.
Clash of the Titans.
Yeah. Whatever. Same movie. And then there's Asian Babyface.
That is Witchfinder.
and Pot of Blood.
Or no, Witch Master.
Yeah.
And then that is her name is like Queen Granite or something.
Asian Babyface?
No. The
The Pot of Blood?
The Pot of Blood is Death Trapper.
Nice. Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. Which that's Rich Evans from Red Letter Media.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. I totally forgot that was in this movie until right now. And I was very excited to pay attention.
Yeah. And I mean, see, he only has like two lines or something like that.
Oh, I'm gonna have to go back and check that part out.
All their costumes or all these character designs are just fantastic. And I was actually thinking like, oh, could I make a Death Trapper costume like really cheaply?
Oh, it'd be so great.
I have nowhere to go. It's not like I'm leaving the house, but it'd just be cool to have.
Well, just dress up for your partner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For my cats. But Death Trapper is, he's a vat of blood with like body parts. Like there's a head on the top and just some floating heads. And then there's a porthole that almost looks like an eye that you can see blood and stuff in there, and then he's got like a mouth. The bottom half of his body is his mouth.
Yeah.
And he's got two arms that just spray blood.
It's so
that's
stupid.
That's all they do.
It's so stupid.
Like when they're all attacking Psycho Gorman, and he's just like, psh,
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
That was another one of those great where it cuts to like real world almost, where it's like the kids watching and it's like, is this going to go on for a while? Like,
yeah.
Because especially that's the part where they just, a psycho girl's being covered in blood and it's like, well, this, what is that even supposed to do?
Yeah, it just is just uncomfortable. Whereas like, Dark Scream does like a cool kung fu kick Dark and Scream Cassius is... 3000.
Dark Scream is the best character name that's ever happened.
Well, I also like how when they turn on him, because the Templars have sort of granted them mercy. They let them go. They're in charge of one planet, and they take turns leading it.
Yeah.
So they become this very kind of, like, communal thing, and Michael Gorman's not having any of that.
As well he should, fucking, yeah.
Yeah.
It's bullshit.
No great committees. Yeah. But I like when he's like, I can't believe you all turn on me, except you, Cassius 3000. I never trusted you. And I just, the fact that Cassius 3000 has a metal mustache just built in is just magical.
His death is great. Mm-hmm. Where he shoves his face into, I'll show you a pool of true darkness. And then basically it's like, oh, I'm showing you the depths of horrors in your soul. And then just a hand comes out and rips his face off. Mm-hmm. It's just so stupid.
Yeah, because it's supposed to be this like existential, like the real darkness is inside of you, pulls off his face.
And the other one, I forget who it was, but gets killed by Psycho Corbin, pulls their chest open and there's just a single red rose in the center.
Yeah. It's just beautiful. And again, like, I would love to see so much more stuff like this with these wild, crazy characters, but I'm glad that that's it.
Yeah, they're in it just enough.
Yeah.
That's the scene that made me think of this movie as being like kind of late 90s thing. And I think it's just because it seems like a movie that I would have found and then just told all of my high school nerd friends. It's like, no, we have to watch this right now.
This is something I found it at Blockbuster Video. Like, I walked by the box several times and I finally was allowed to rent it.
Dark Scream. It's so good.
So he ends up, he ends up beating all of them.
This is where the last guy he saved, he's like, you are a good warrior. I'll give you a warrior's death, which they referenced earlier. That means you're going to eat him.
Yes.
And you see his jaw detach and just blood everywhere is eating it. And the two children are on the side watching this. And when he's done, he's covered in blood. He's like, what you have seen will scar you forever and you'll carry with you to the end of days. And they're just kind of like, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's... I just watched the guy eat somebody.
Yeah, I've seen worse.
Yeah, which is, it's so great because this could have gone such a dumb way with like having kids in the front and just having them be like, whatever.
Yeah. And I think that keeps it the level it needs to be, because at no point, as much as as I said, like you could pull back on her being awful. They're kind of about it makes it much more ridiculous, because if they reacted terribly in any way, it would be horrifying. Like, oh no, you ate this in front of children. No, that's fine. No one cares.
This leads to the thing that made me laugh the most in the movie, and I don't know why. So Psycho Gorman has been severely injured in this fight, because they like, it's like, oh, you blessed the blades with my blood from the fight on blah blah blah. That's the only thing you can... It's great. But they're like, oh, we need to summon help. And the way to summon help is their dad is taking a shit back at home. And then Psycho Gorman's face shows up in his mirror, just going like, ah, you must come. Him just screaming in that horrible psychedelic, just mind-melting thing. And that joke keep going of like, I don't know where that is.
Yeah, the dad just keeps needing his handheld for this whole thing.
And the fact that they keep cutting back to him screaming, the energy stays over the top. Just, God, that made me laugh fucking hard.
Take the second light.
Yeah.
Just ridiculous. Well, because by this point, the dad and mom, their relationship is crumbling. There's been references to it before that they fight all the time or whatever, but she's really had it with him because he's not doing anything.
She calls him lazy, and he's like, you know, I don't like that word.
Yeah, my parents called me that. Because he has decided to take a couple weeks off of work because he hurt his wrist, and then he bought a new TV because during the Psycho Gorman rock anthem, they're throwing basketballs at Luke, which is one of her favorite, Mimi's favorite pastimes. And Psycho Gorman turns one of the basketballs into this flaming skull of death that flies through the house and ends up busting the TV.
I like the dad's reaction, too, because he's flipped the fuck out.
Yes. But he also doesn't do anything. He just sits there and cries. He doesn't run and hide. He doesn't do anything.
I don't want to use the L word, but I think he can be a little on the lazy side.
Mm-hmm.
Is
that what that show's about, the L word?
As far as I know, yes.
Too lazy to find boyfriends.
Yeah. Yeah, too lazy to obey God's will. They go and the dad goes and helps him out, drags Psycho Gorman to the truck, and then it's like, you know, it's a fun little awkward scene. And the dad has this soft moment to Psycho Gorman. He goes, do you think I'm lazy, PG?
He's just looking for validation from anybody.
The fact that he calls him PG fucking slayed me. And this is, so this is where things start to get, this is kind of where it starts to slow down a little bit, but worst joke in the movie is Wishmaster's head rolls out. It's like, ah, Wishmaster can't be destroyed. And then the truck just runs it over.
Yeah.
Which is like, ah, it's a little.
Yeah.
This movie has been smart about its dumbness. And that one was a little like, nah, that's a little.
Well, some of that stuff just feels like, gotta pad this out. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, it just feels like you could lose it. It doesn't matter. And because when you, like I said, you have this kind of tone that you're trying to keep. And you're not emotionally invested in anyone. Because you can't possibly be that. You need to keep this thing as tight as possible. Yeah. Sometimes that stuff doesn't always work.
Kind of overlapping with here, the Templar recruits mom.
Yes, because the mom has had it, and the Templar has shown up and shown her true colors, and you know has explained that no, this thing's a monster and will kill everybody. You need to help me stop it, and so gives the mom something to drink.
Yeah, which turns her into a Gundam.
Yeah, basically.
Okay. There's a great dumb line. You'll be promised endless servitude. And then he goes, endless servitude. Sounds like being married to you, Susan.
Uh-huh.
In the middle of this war for the literal universe, him just doing a dumb, the old ball and chain joke is so...
He's trying to get a jab in where he can.
Oh, and then... So there's this whole thing. They're fighting, yada, yada. Doesn't matter. Mimi tries to talk to Dad about what she should do. Whether she should save Psycho Gorman or not.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells this beautiful story. He goes, well, you know, it reminds me of the time that this real shady looking van rolled up outside my elementary school. And the guy said, hey, do you want to get in and look at my cool baseball cards? And I said, yeah, of course I do. And I got in the van and you know what was in there? Beautiful mint condition baseball cards.
Yeah.
And I had a great day. And I'm saying, you know, sometimes it is such a fucking horrible. Yeah. It's so great.
Just the worst dad with the worst messages. It's wonderful.
The fact that he literally does the white van outside school and it goes and ends up being a happy ending that he got to see all these rad baseball cards.
But so at this point the battle lines are drawn, and that Luke the mom and the Templar, Pandora is the Templar.
Correct.
Name. They are on one side. And then it's Dad, Mimi, Psycho Gorman on the other.
Yeah, Team Suck versus Team, I forget the other one's name.
I don't know.
I just liked her saying Team Suck. It just.
Luke has the gem. He managed to sneak the gem away from Mimi. Mimi and Psycho Gorman and Dad all escaped to the shoe factory. The mom and them followed. All the house stuff was in the executive producer's backyard, by the way.
Oh, really?
Which I think is great. Because, I mean, like, this movie was made for, you know, considerably less money than it looks in a lot of ways. Like,
no,
you
I
can
mean,
see this movie because
you said, what, 600,000 or whatever. It looks good.
It's like it's a certain amount Canadian, but it translates to like 670,000.
Yeah. Of real money.
Of legitimate
Dogecoin.
Not
yeah.
just Doonies and Loonies or whatever they call them.
Yeah. Loonies and Toonies, asshole.
They're Doonies. They're based on their Iraqi currency.
That's true. Yeah.
Irakeen currency. Anyway, so can they go back to the shoe factory because it's the only other location in this movie.
Yes.
And that's where they have the final, like, there's a battle. Pandora defeats Psycho Gorman. And this doesn't make any sense, but whatever. She's got him, like, stunned. And he's like, isn't it your custom to allow the defeated foe one final request for battle? Like, that doesn't make any sense because you just lost the battle, but fine.
It was so hype right there for me. And I regretted saying that hype thing. I've been watching too much Twitch.
No, it's cool. We're 40. We can say that stuff. We're still young and cool.
I'm pretty sure you're 41.
That was unnecessary. I've got my press age is 40.
Oh, sorry.
I'm still.
Hey, we're a bunch of cool 27-year-olds out here. Hey, let me just pop my skateboard and put on my cool glasses.
Let's be dope.
I got so fucking hyped for when he goes, I will challenge you to him. I'm like, oh God, the Calvin Ball thing's going to pay off.
Yeah.
And it pays off in the dumbest way possible, which is great for this movie. The end of the film is a Calvin Ball fight.
Yeah.
For nothing.
For nothing. And it's acknowledged how stupid it
is.
And a lot of times in movies, that kind of thing makes me mad. But in this movie, it works because the one seemingly normal character, and I realize that the Templar is not normal, but that it's just like, this thing is in charge of the universe. It's part of this, you know, Galactic Council. It's like, this is so stupid.
Yeah.
What are we doing here? But everyone else is committed to it. This means a lot for for Luke and Mimi, because Luke's kind of standing up to Mimi a little bit, and the parents are working out their whole thing. But for the Battle of the Cosmos, where we're doing this.
So the heightening of this movie is beautiful here, where what do you do from here? You know what you do? You have one of the characters start singing.
Mm-hmm.
And she starts singing, "I'm the Heckin' Best," but in the Your Favorite Thing, where they slow down songs from the 70s right. to put in movie trailers,
yeah.
in that style, and then gets Psycho and the brother to sing along with her. For it makes no sense. There's because
Luke confronts Mimi and is like you, all you do is bully me. You're terrible. Like I'm mad at you, whatever. And so rather than apologize, she just sings that song.
Yeah, she sings a song that is literally, "I'm fucking great.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
You don't tell me what to do," which is, it's fucking beautiful. And somehow that works.
Yeah. It's totally like a Danny McBride character thing.
Yes.
Like, "I'm fucking out. I'm in, you're fucking out."
Kenny Powers.
It's such a Kenny Powers thing, I'm not going to apologize. I'm sorry. I'm so fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But then later she taps it. They have a language that they communicate. They tap things. It's not even Morse code. It's just tapping. But
yeah,
whatever. She apologizes that way.
There was a great little bit here too, where Psycho Gorman posits, "Is this love?"
Yeah.
Because of the song. It's so stupid. So it's decided. She's like, "Fuck this. I'm giving him the gem." And he builds a sword from the Templar's spine to fight the Templar. Which is, what the... this movie's kind of great.
Yeah, just needlessly gory, but it's amazing to watch. Because particularly because he's like, she's like, "Nothing will beat my sword." He's like, "Then I will make my own." And just like rips off different parts of her to make this horrible spine sword. And she's already basically dead.
Oh, we missed the dumbest part here. It's the reason he gets so mad and decides to rip her spine out is because she ruined his Hunky Boy magazine.
That's right, yeah.
That got paid off. Again, all the dumb shit from earlier gets mm-hmm. paid off, which, good job. Good job, movie.
So he of course defeats Pandora
and eats her
again, the warrior's death. But and there's this like pseudo touching moment with the family about like knowing what love is, like how I'm not going to kill you, but then he immediately opens a portal and starts blowing up the town.
So good.
Oh, it's great. And then yeah, then they go home and on the news is him.
There's
him,
a little coda with Alistar watching TV with the family over dinner of a purple giant destroying a city, but it's Alistair is still a fucking brain,
yeah.
and no one's paying it any mind.
Which that the actress that is his mom was Pandora, although two different people on were listed as Pandora. So I don't know if one of them's the voice, one of them's the physical body, but whatever. Yeah,
yeah.
Trivia.
That's it.
Yeah, movie. Like nothing's really resolved,
you know, yeah.
But it's also with this kind of movie, it's okay. And this is honestly like more what I was talking about in the Suicide Squad episode, where like if Suicide Squad didn't try to get like emotional with stuff and just kind of stayed at this level, I would have liked a lot better. This kind of does that, stays at the level it needs to be the entire time. And I think it works so much better.
Yeah. I just give it a strong recommend if you're in the mindset for a movie of this variety.
Yeah, it's big dumb fun, and it's gory, but not in a really meaningfully gory way. Like it's not Dead Alive, if you've ever seen that.
No.
Dead Alive.
There is a lawnmower in this.
There is a lawnmower in this.
So I don't know. You want to take back your little fucking bullshit statement about it not being like Dead Alive?
No, because
there's a lawnmower in
there's
this.
There's not a scene where someone eats an ear out of pudding.
There's two scenes where somebody eats an entire other person, and they probably have ears though.
Yeah, but that's not in pudding.
And there was a scene here where Luke got shoved back into his demon mother, right? That happened?
No, that didn't.
So it's probably not much like Dead Alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. By mistake.
It's a little different.
Anyway, yeah. People don't watch Dead Alive. It's very gross.
It's Peter J. It's the same guy who did Lord of the Rings, which will never stop bothering.
Here's what people need to understand: that Lord of the Rings, Peter Jackson, he's a well-respected filmmaker now. He made Dead Alive, which is one of the goriest movies ever made.
Yeah.
Watch the unrated version. The R-rated version is bullshit.
Yeah.
He also made a movie called Meet the Feebles, which features Muppets doing drugs and fucking each other.
And if that concept seems funnier than just that sentence, absolutely watch it. But if you're like, I get it.
That movie
then don't watch it.
Was great in 1996.
I remember trying to watch it and just not being on board.
When I was like 16, I was like, this is fucking great. But like there has been a lot a lot weirder and a lot more things that have happened in the universe since then.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, yeah, don't bother. Anyway, so Psycho Gorman, watch the movie if you're in the mood for it. It's very good. I'll give you John's Shudder password.
It's Alex.
It is. Oh, yeah. You already recommended it, didn't you? Recommendations. Things we've enjoyed.
Yes.
Since last we spoke, a fortnight ago.
Mm-hmm.
John, I'm going to go first.
Yeah, please do.
Because I actually have a movie to recommend.
A movie?
I, for the first time in almost 2 years, went to a movie theater and saw Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, the new Marvel movie. I went because I had nothing else to do, and my life is empty, and I just needed something to do. So I was kind of curious. I know nothing about the character at all. Literally didn't know that was a thing in the Marvel universe. And it is, to quote Jason Mendoza, dope. It is a terrifically enjoyable movie. It's like the early kind of phase one movies of Marvel where they're like, well, this movie's just going to be, you know, a heist film. This is going to be a war drama, you know, where they just kind of did like stylized. This is just a fucking old school kung fu film. And there's some fight choreography in this that is goddamn golden. It is so good. Hardly recommend. There's a couple spots where it went, let's just ruin this scene with a joke because it's a Marvel movie. And the final battle is a little, I mean, whatever. It's a final battle in Marvel.
Right.
It's just kind of like, you're like all the good stuff in the movie's already over. But very funny. Ben Kingsley shows up as his Mandarin character.
Mm.
Or the actor playing the Jeffrey, whatever, the guy that played it.
I've never seen an Iron Man 3.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. It's
I know that twist about it, but
yeah, it's a Trevor something, but he steals it. Awkwafina, who I had no idea who that was, I just heard that name, was terrific. The lead guy, who I don't know the actor's name, but is, yeah, like everybody just killed it. What is Michelle Yeoh is in it in the third act, and she is just, yeah, she's dynamite.
She's always great.
Yeah. It's a really, like, it's, I think it might be my, like, least qualified, I mean, like, with the smallest amount of qualifications, recommended Marvel movie.
My least qualified, but...
Yeah, no. No, I mean, with the least amount of qualifications saying, like, I recommend a Marvel movie. Because most of the time, it's just like, yeah, I guess if you like Marvel movies, you blah, blah, blah. But this is like, no, this is like a good-ass kung fu movie.
If you like Awkwafina, you should check out The Farewell. She's very good in that. It's more of a drama, but she's really good in that.
Yeah, I didn't like her that much. Yeah. I just thought she was good.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's mostly she cleared the hurdle of an incredibly stupid name. That really
made... Well, she was a rapper. That was...
Cool. The point is, I'm very predisposed to not like somebody with a single name that's a misspelling of like a water brand.
Yeah. Oh, water brand.
I have a last name. It's just not in the title of our show. My last name's Bolin. It's readily available.
I fought to have it in the title of the show and said no.
Yeah, well,
just Alex.
It ruins Jaws. Jobs. It just doesn't work.
Well, let's do a lowercase b and be fine.
Yeah, fair enough. Be subtle.
I had in conversations about this movie coming out online. I had saw a couple of. Older movies recommended, and I watched those. One is The Dance of the Drunken Mantis, which is, and both of these are available to watch on YouTube. There's a whole, both of these weren't on that, but there's a whole like Wu-Tang Collection channel. You can watch these movies with ads. But Dance of the Drunken Mantis is it's directed by same guy who did the fight choreography for The Matrix and all that stuff. The comedy is really rough. It's about two drunk styles, one perfected by Sam the Seed and the other one by Rubber Legs. But the fight choreography is great.
Yeah.
It's really cool. The other one I watched is called Wizard's Curse, and it is bonkers. It's about, it's kind of like almost a Terminator retelling, because it's about this, it starts with two sorcerers fighting the cops, a man and a woman sorcerer fighting the cops, and they call in this like expert, powerful sorcerer who defeats them both at the same time. Then a third sorcerer takes them and transforms them into a terrific vampire. And the subtitles in this movie are awful. Like, they're incomprehensible. The English, like, it's very bad English subtitles. And some of the comedy in that is pretty terrible, too. But it's just wild. There's a giant glowing prehensile dong. The terrific vampire can change gender all the time.
Now you're speaking my language.
Yeah, it's very, very silly, but it's very, like... it's got the same kind of energy as, say, like a Big Trouble in Little China kind of thing. Like, and it's kind of like low budget, but high energy thing. So both those are really fun and available to watch on YouTube.
Excellent.
Yeah. Also, if you are interested in more of this kind of stuff, you know, I referenced Ultraman several times in the show. I found out that Shout Factory TV has a bunch of the old Ultraman series that you can watch.
Oh, really?
With yeah. ads for free. But I checked out one of them, and yeah, it's pretty bleak. But
I know I've seen an Ultraman, but like, you know, 20 years ago or whatever, and I don't remember responding well to it.
Yeah, it's but just if that's your jam, go yeah. check it out. And
John, I feel like next episode we should branch out a little bit.
All right.
We should maybe, I don't know, invite somebody on?
We could do that.
Well, I just came up with all the good ideas. You just fill in the details for now.
Oh, yeah. So next episode, we're having in special guest Rob Campbell from the podcast Green Shirt. It's a Star Trek podcast about Star Trek The Next Generation. And we're going to be having him on to discuss, what are we doing?
Oh, Land of the Lost.
Are we doing Land of
yes,
the Lost?
Yes, yes. Land of the Lost. I'm firmly entrenched in that.
Okay. I will say that
We did a poll on Twitter as to what we should watch. And I do believe in the final count, Land of the Lost won by... But also counting the Facebook votes, I think mm-hmm. it still was about 2 votes up.
Yeah.
Which, given our audience size, that's a shitload.
Yeah.
So I'm going to listen to the audience and say, Land of the Lost, we're doing it. And, you know, frankly, we haven't watched anything with... in it, and you know,
Danny McBride.
Yeah, I have no idea. Anna
Friel.
I'm vaguely familiar that Land of Lost was came out as a movie, and that the lizards are called Slee Stacks.
Mm-hmm.
Thus ends my knowledge. So yeah,
did you ever watch the show?
I mean, I probably saw like an episode, but yeah, not really. I'm young and cool.
That's
27,
right.
as retconned earlier in the episode. Yeah, so we're gonna watch Land of Lost with Rob from Green Shirt Podcast. That's it.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, go do that. Follow us on Twitter at JawsPod, on Facebook, John and Alex Hate Stuff, on Patreon at Alex Bolan, Alex Bob with 2 X's, BOLLEN. Yeah, those are things. All right, bye.
Bye-bye.